Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks, which I founded to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. I do this through cooking classes, an online cookbook, lectures and workshops, articles and essays, this podcast, and a cooking DVD. You can learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, www.compassionatecooks.com. Thank you to those of you who have taken the time to write to me and let me know how the podcast has helped you. It's just amazing to receive your responses. I can't tell you how it just absolutely makes my day, and it's just amazing. Here's one I received from Deborah just last week. She writes, "I just wanted to begin this Thanksgiving week by telling you how much I appreciate your website and your podcasts. I'm 36 years old, and this will be my first turkey-free Thanksgiving. I'm really thankful that I have your podcast to listen to. I don't yet have a support system of like-minded friends to spend the season with, but that's where you come in. I can hear your voice and know that I'm not alone." It's really amazing that technology enables us to communicate with each other and have this kind of impact on one another. And I do think having a support system is so important, and I'm so glad I can help Deborah and others feel like they're not alone, because you're not alone. And I'm going to talk more about this in a sec. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at podcast@compassionatecooks.com. And if you listen to these podcasts and have gotten anything out of them at all, please consider sponsoring them. I encourage you to visit the website at compassionatecooks.com and click on Support Our Podcast. When you do, it says Sponsor Our Podcast or Support Our Podcast. When you do, you'll see a page that includes a link to a list of responses that I've received from people all around the world. I want you to see what kind of response the podcast has been getting. And if you want to help debunk the myths about vegetarianism and empower and inspire others to eat healthfully and compassionately, supporting this podcast is a great way to make this happen. And you'll see why once you read what people have been saying. You can decide the amount from $5 a month to $10 a month to a one-time contribution, which comes with different benefits. And so just visit CompassionateCooks.com and click on Support Podcast or Sponsor Our Podcast. And thank you very much for your support. Thank you to Brian Shamadis. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Brian, the sponsor of today's podcast. When I wrote to Brian to thank him for his support, he told me that he really believes in my work and will continue to support my efforts. And this isn't the first time Brian has supported my efforts. So I'm very grateful to you, Brian. Thank you very much for your support. So today I want to talk a bit more about the social aspects of being vegan. I may have said this before, but I think in many ways, the eating aspects, the food part related to being vegan is a breeze. But dealing with the social aspects can be a little challenging. Most of us have been brainwashed into believing we need to consume animal products, so the burden remains on the vegetarian to justify his or her eating habits. And I think that's why so many people shy away from vegetarianism. They're afraid to appear different, or they don't want to call attention to themselves, or they don't want the hassle, quote unquote, of asking for what they want, or they're just lazy, which I think is the case sometimes. But despite their own ethics or health concerns or whatever compels someone to stop eating animals and their secretions, many people continue to do so for fear of being different, and I find this really unfortunate. It reminds me of an old Arabic folktale about a witch who visits a kingdom one night and poisons the central well with 7 drops of a potion that drives people mad. The next morning, all who drink from that well go crazy. The king, however, knew about this in advance, and like all self-respecting kings that have their own water source, the king did not drink from the communal well. The next day, those who drank the poisoned water came to the king and accused him of being the crazy one. The king, aware of what had happened, was faced with a dilemma: drink from the well and lose his sanity like the rest of his subjects, but remain king, or don't drink, remain sane, but be swept from power by those who would view his very sanity as madness. Now, though the stakes may not seem as high as those in this story, I think they feel that way to many people. Though they may not lose their kingdom, many people are afraid of losing their social status, or their friends, or their comfort level. And all of these may be valued as high to an ordinary citizen as a kingdom is to a king. Those of us who make the choice to be vegan may grapple with this each time we go out to eat with non-vegetarian friends or who accept an invitation to a dinner party hosted by a non-vegetarian. You may face it at work when your company orders lunch for everyone, or at a business dinner when you don't choose the restaurant yourself. You may feel this if you're vegan and your spouse is not, dealing with the holidays and in-laws, or on a much larger scale, deciding how to raise your future children, which I highly recommend you kind of work out before you have the kids, but that's just my personal opinion. In a previous podcast called 10 Tips for Eating Veg in Social Situations, I talk about some pragmatic things people can do. But there's still more to say, and the suggestions in this podcast are a little more philosophical than simply practical, and I hope they're helpful. I've heard some people say that they're not vegetarian or are only vegetarian sometimes because when they go to dinner at friends' houses or at their in-laws, or they just go out to dinner with non-vegetarian friends, they don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, and they don't want to appear difficult. Those who fall into this category willingly take the path of least resistance. Truth be told, I've never been much of a conformist, much to the dismay of my parents, I can tell you. I've always questioned the customs or habits of the status quo, and I've never done something just because everyone else did it. In fact, if something becomes very popular, I'm kind of wary of it. But that's not to say I simply do things just for the sake of being different either. Now, it probably appears to some people as if I do, because I often swim against the tide, but that's just because there's an awful lot of people drinking from that well. There are a lot of things I have opinions about, and what's the use of taking a position or having an opinion if I don't manifest those opinions or beliefs in my behavior? And of course, sometimes it would be easy just to conform, just to blend in, you know, just to look like everyone else or sound like everyone else. But at what cost? At the cost of my own values? That's a pretty high cost, in my opinion. And that's not to say that you have to rock the boat constantly. But, you know, everyone who knows me or meets me knows where I stand on certain things I don't compromise on, namely my belief that animals are here for their own sake and not for my pleasure. I mean, really, that's all it comes down to. And that's not something I have to apologize for. That's not something that changes according to who invites me to dinner or who can handle that fact or who it makes uncomfortable. And if you think about it, it would be pretty self-centered of me to try and control other people's reactions, being afraid of telling someone I don't eat animals just because it might make them uncomfortable. Who am I to guess what someone else's reaction is going to be? And who am I to protect someone from the very thing that might open up their own feelings about animals, animal rights, or vegetarianism? Who am I to deny someone the chance to show me that they care about my feelings and my ethical beliefs? I mean, I've never seen people at their most beautiful, their most vulnerable, than when they learn I'm vegetarian and either begin sharing their own stories and feelings or when they go out of their way to accommodate me. That's their choice, and I always appreciate it. I think we don't give people the benefit of the doubt enough. I think we underestimate our friends and family. And as long as we think that we're protecting them from any discomfort, we're not only denying our own ethics and perpetuating the socially sanctioned abuse of animals, we're also potentially denying other people their own transformation. Because how else does this occur than through honest interaction and communication with other people? That's why we're here, right? To help each other change and evolve and be better people. On that same note, I think it's important in all our relationships to know where we end and someone else begins. I mean, what a mess I would be if my behavior was determined by how it would make other people react. In other words, if my veganism does make someone uncomfortable, that's not mine. Whatever someone does with my values isn't mine to worry about. It's not mine. Now, again, I'm not saying that we become just selfish, demanding, rude, ungracious people. It's quite the opposite. What I'm saying is that we need to speak our truth without being attached to what the truth will do to other people. We need to speak our truth without being self-effacing. Let me give you an example. Now, names have been changed to protect the vegans. A very good friend of mine is vegan. Her colleagues, most of them not vegetarian at all, are all foodies, you know, people who go to fancy schmancy restaurants where vegan options are scarce and foie gras is revered. And recently, a group of them were going out to dinner after some event. And my friend's colleague, whom she respects immensely, said, "Well, we want to make sure we pick a vegetarian restaurant because Jennifer here is vegan." Now, at this point, my friend felt embarrassed. She felt singled out and she felt self-conscious. So you know what she said? No, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. You don't have to do that. And you know what they did? They didn't worry about her. They went to a very veg-unfriendly restaurant where she could order and afford nothing but a green salad. And when we talked about it, she said, well, you know, my colleague was only doing that to be nice. And I said, well, yeah. And it was very nice of her. And you didn't take her at her word. You denied her that generosity, right? I mean, it could have played out very differently. My friend's colleague said, you know, okay, so let's find a vegetarian place so my Jennifer here, who's vegan, can eat. And by the way, everyone would have been able to eat at this, you know, at a vegetarian friendly or a vegetarian restaurant. And my friend could have said, oh, thank you. That would be great. I mean, what was the value? What did she gain by being self-effacing? She didn't speak her truth. And I mean, she was upset by the fact that she didn't speak up. I'm not just making that as part of the story. She felt bad that she didn't speak her truth. So she didn't speak her truth. She basically said, what's important to me doesn't matter. You all decide what you want to eat. She had a lousy dinner. She paid for something she didn't want. And, you know, also, veganism, again, was perceived by non-vegetarians as something as, you know, limiting and unsatisfying. I just don't see why we think someone else's comfort level is more important than our own principles and our own desire for a satisfying dinner. When I became vegan, or as I like to say, when I woke up, I felt so liberated. I mean, we all say we want to make a difference. We all say we want to leave our mark on this world. We all say we want to do something meaningful, live a meaningful life, help others, affect change, contribute something to this world. And I do think people mean it when they say it. But I wonder sometimes if this all means as much to them as not appearing different. We all say we want to make a difference, but in order to do so, we have to do something different, right? Which means, you know, we may have to appear different. What's that quote? Well-behaved women seldom make history. Men too. Well-behaved men seldom make history too. The point is, it's only people willing to assert their individuality, their personal beliefs, their principles, who actually make a difference. It's easy to go along with the status quo, but is that what we really want? And that's the question I think we have to ask ourselves. What's more important to us? Actually doing something that we believe in or looking like everybody else? And the best part about this particular issue is that you don't have to become an animal activist to help animals. You just have to stop eating them. It's a pretty simple, selfless act. We also tend to think in extremes, and I think people believe that if you speak up for what you want, you're going to be a social outcast, and it's not true. I mean, first of all, you're going to meet like-minded people. And like I said earlier, we really underestimate people. We underestimate our friends, we underestimate our family, and we underestimate strangers. Yes, our being vegetarian or vegan might make someone uncomfortable. But that's because most people don't meet other people willing to stand up for what they believe in. Imagine if we all raised our expectations of each other. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world where you're surprised by someone who believes in something and actually acts accordingly? I mean, so can you imagine someone saying, so you care about animals and you keep eating them? I don't get it. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing to live in a world where people really embrace their values of compassion and nonviolence and kindness without feeling ashamed or embarrassed? And to be honest, people admire it. They might be afraid of it, but people admire the courage it takes to go against the grain, and you might inspire them to do the same. The people I admire most in this world are those who stand up for what they believe in. And you might be surprised to learn there are people out there, people you already know, people you have yet to meet who do this. Find them. I can say with confidence that most people who say they were vegetarian once but stopped will tell you they didn't have a lot of vegetarian friends. They didn't have a network. Now, they also may not have spoken their truth, for perhaps if they did, they would have had a different experience being vegetarian. But it's so important to have like-minded people in your life. Of course, I'm honored to be someone people can turn to by listening to this podcast when you need to feel that you're not alone. But having a circle of people in your community, people you can dine with, people you can cry with, people you can laugh with, people who simply speak your own language is so important. So how do you find them? Well, seek them out and make it easier for them to find you. One way is through meetups. I don't know if you've heard of meetups. It's all one word, M-E-E-T-U-P-S, meetups. They're like, you know, they're basically like community events that people are putting together through the internet. So you find each other online, but then you actually meet in person. They're very popular right now. And, you know, if you just typed in vegetarian meetup or vegan meetup, in fact, you can just go to meetup.com and then type in vegetarian or vegan, and you could find people in your town. And if there isn't one, start one. Go to vegetarian events. particularly in the summertime and fall, there are so many vegetarian festivals. Check them out and meet some people there. Find a vegetarian cooking class in your area. You know, teach cooking classes. We certainly need more people to teach cooking classes. Many people come to my classes who just really love being there because they meet other people who speak the same language and they just want to know that they're not alone. Get involved. Volunteer with local animal rights groups or vegetarian groups. It's a great way to meet people without feeling like you're trying to meet people. And speak up. Damn it. Be truthful with your friends and be truthful with your family. Let them know how you feel. Let them know you feel strongly about not eating animals, but you're afraid of how they're going to react. Some friends may join you, so at least give them the chance. So that's it. Here's my final advice. Don't drink from the poisoned well. Stay sane. Stay true. Because if you won't stand up for what you believe in, you might as well not have any opinions at all. This is Colleen from Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.